consistent.
Welcome to The Basement.
Yo, what up, everybody? Welcome to The Basement. I'm Nolo.
Jose, what is going on, people?
Today in the studio, we got special guests. Special guests, introduce yourselves.
Yeah, my name's Joshua. Should I do my last name, too?
Nah, you don't have to do that. I mean, no one's listening to the show anyways, but you could bring that a little bit closer to the microphone. Okay. Go ahead.
And my name is Jeremy.
A returning guest who got lost. One of his files ended up in the ether.
So technically, this episode 56.
What's the rule about phone calls?
And during the show? Yeah. Hey, if you got to take your care of your business, go take care of your business.
Oh, I thought you meant like people calling in. I'm like, oh.
Put on a speaker.
We like that.
We trying to do that next. Like where we go live on Facebook and then I want to put the number up so people can go ahead and call join the conversation. You know what I mean? But we're slowly trying to get there. It's been It's been a minute getting all that.
For a while, we had a problem with the recording situation. Every once in a while, we're cut off or something. So we weren't confident going live. Gotcha. But I think for the past few episodes, you've been legit, right?
What gets more views, Instagram Live or Facebook Live?
I have no idea. I didn't even know you could go live on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people do it.
Yep. Everything
a lot of
is
people
like
do on Instagram. Instagram probably a lot of that's crossover.
Maybe we should go. Can we go live on all three? Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube live?
So,
is that possible?
I believe so, yeah.
I think you need a different device for each one.
Like a different computer?
Yeah, so if I'm here, I could do two. So as far as I know, and maybe I'm wrong because I haven't actually tried it.
Yeah.
But as far as I know, if I'm logged in here with Facebook Live, and then with the other computer, I'm logged in live with Instagram or YouTube Live, then it's like that. Unless they could all come from the same source, which I think should. That makes sense, but who knows. Mm-hmm. Look at us sounding all tech babble. Y'all don't want to hear any of this.
Maybe they do. Maybe they're like, how do we start a podcast? Oh, wait, listen, I'm talking about it now.
I will tell that user, whoever's trying to start their own podcast, it's work.
Come holla at us.
Yeah.
Come hit us up. We could definitely
we'll
help
you out for
you
sure.
And it, at the same time, most people think it's like complicated, and it doesn't have to be. You could actually go with a cheap route, and it sounds
super
professional.
Cheap.
So
nowadays with the phones you have now, you can do a whole show on your phone.
Yeah, word. Most people are getting it with basically what they have. I hate the way
he said I love you.
Oh, it's a girl. He's talking to a girl, Noel.
Are you sure? He didn't tell us his gender yet, so we don't know.
His gender? Or the gender of the person that's on the phone?
I just wanted
to
say.
That's a good question. We have to figure out both.
That Erica said, ew. Okay.
That's definitely his girl.
She told you she's a girl? She identified?
She identified as a girl, yeah.
Oh, okay.
The last time I saw her, but she could have changed it. Your girlfriend.
I mean, theoretically, he's on point.
wait, hold on.
We gotta
make
sure, because right before the show, we started talking about genders and stuff, so we gotta figure it out.
And so.
Actually, can you go on online right now? Can you look something up?
See, now you wanna be all special.
Okay. Am I connected or are you connected?
Connected, but that computer, that keyboard should also be connected, so you don't need this part. I hate the way that camera angle is, though.
This one?
Yeah. I hate that the fact that it's hovering over us.
Yeah.
Like a mini little drone that's slightly hovering over us. So anyways, Joshua, right?
Yes, sir.
Tell me a little bit about yourself, what you do, and where you from.
Well, yeah. My name's Josh. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. What I do profession-wise, I'm an accountant. Just work in a public accounting firm. Some people think it's boring. Some people think it's interesting. Many people who say it's interesting, I think they think it's boring, but they want to be nice. Other thing is, kind of chilled off of this while I was studying, but involved in my church. Love Jesus. Love the Lord.
Okay.
Those are the main things about me.
Baltimore is known as one of the more struggling cities.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe the mayor was trying, mayor or some of the leaders there were trying to just bringing light, like street lights,
yeah,
to the neighborhoods in the city, was a thing where, and a lot of the, it's hard to get a job. Businesses aren't really going out there.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to school?
I finished school.
You finished school
2 years ago.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And you got a lot of family out there?
Just my immediate family. I mean, most of my family is back in Nigeria, but my immediate family is all in the States.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I got a couple cousins.
Okay.
But, yeah, I gotta say, I'm from Baltimore County, though. So I'm from outside.
The city?
West side of the city. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so I live in a Jewish community called Pikesville, specifically. Heavy Jewish community that's right outside West Baltimore.
Do you get stared?
Do I get scared?
Stared at by the Jewish community?
Do I get stared at? Nah, not really. They're used to seeing a bunch of people who are different. I live in more the Reform part of the Jew area too than the Orthodox Jews. So how I would describe it, and this can be inaccurate, but this is how I see it.
Yeah.
Reform Jews usually are those who are like more, well, this isn't official, but the area where I'm at, they're more of the Jews who are like, they're just Jewish by culture, they feel, rather than like by religious practices.
Yeah,
exactly. So that's where usually the area of Pikesville where you're going to see some blacks, a few Hispanics, and also the Reform Jews. But the Orthodox Jews, they kind of group together. And they're found more, what was it? It's kind of more, a little bit more north of Pikesville.
I feel like if white people were racist, the Jewish would be the least of races. Just because of what they've gone through. The word ghetto comes from the Jewish history.
Seriously? Yeah.
Yeah, the word ghetto actually comes from the Nazis.
From the Nazis, yeah.
So I feel like they're the least ones to, like, you know, give us hard time, us Spanish and black folks here.
You would think that, but take a walk in Borough Park.
Mm-hmm. But that's the Orthodox Jews he's talking about.
Yeah.
They will follow
around. Reform Jews don't give a crap.
The Reform Jews, yeah.
They don't give a crap.
They look
they're down for whatever. That's what it's like. They're just like, yo, be you, I'm gonna be me, and keep it moving.
Yeah.
That's like where all the actors and stuff come from, probably from that community.
Yeah. So there's a car that's double parked outside, and the guy's been trying to get out for like the past hour.
Seriously?
So he's gone to the madness point, which is honk your horn until it falls off. So I apologize to our lovely listeners of two, well, maybe three or four now that we have people here on the show. Let's get right into it, because we started the conversation in the car, and I was like, shut up, Jose, don't do it no well, little slut. He likes to, like, talk about the conversation before we start recording.
He just likes talking,
media whore.
He's
so
a talking slut.
we're right into, like, Black Lives Matter. And you
That's
were saying
what we're talking about now?
You were saying
Jesus Christ.
Calm down, buddy.
I thought we were talking about genders.
Hold on, we can get back
to
that.
He was really excited about the genders.
I pulled up a list of 51 genders.
There's 51.
I didn't even know. Yeah.
There's 51?
There's 51, yeah.
Of what?
Genders.
Of what?
Bro, look, they're all over the place.
I feel like LGBTQ. That's 5.
Plus. You got plus.
Oh, plus 6.
Look, they even have,
them,
they even have
gives
you,
them
bro.
Flexibility.
Oh my god. Did you dare repeat the word for our audience?
I can't say that.
I'm
not Dave Chappelle.
You're not David Chappelle. That's another topic right there. I'll say the word for you then.
It's kind of like the N-word. When you say N-word, unless you're using it in a casual conversation, then it just comes out. But if we're talking about it, we say N-word.
Are you even allowed to use that word, like, all right, like you would say nigga, like, Do they use it like
well,
that?
Well, you didn't see the stand up because he mentions that very well.
Oh, word.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had not seen anyone who's able to, you know, as if there's like a ER versus an A version of it. Like,
right,
you know,
right.
Yeah.
It's funny. So, Ernie moved to Texas, right? And I went out to Texas for a while, right?
That's his friend, by the way.
Over there.
They know who Ernie is.
Over there, when he first moved, a friend of mine, yeah. When he moved out there the first time, he said people were in shock when he would talk. They'd be like, like they couldn't believe it. So he's like, he told me, he's like, I think that's just like an East Coast New York thing, that everybody just talks like that out here.
Using that word?
Yeah.
I don't even hear that word anymore in Baltimore. Unless you're like in your close circles, but like.
I don't know. You know what's funny? Over here, the new generation is different.
I try to keep it like he doesn't, and I do. Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
The new generation is different. They don't use it as much. I feel like it depends on the neighborhood.
So you're saying even in Baltimore, you're not seeing people using the term.
Can I just say the term?
Yeah, I mean, technically, you're the only one allowed to in this circle right now.
I mean, all right, so the term faggot or fag.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking about nigga.
Are you talking about nigga?
Yeah, I was talking about the word nigga.
Oh, no, no. Everybody's saying that.
In Baltimore.
Everybody's, yeah.
Oh, okay, 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 okay.
I'm talking about faggot. Like, I'm trying to set it.
That's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what's funny? That word is kind of like the N-word because it depends on the context.
But so the gays haven't like, oh, let me sorry. No. But people who are in the LGBTQ haven't like reclaimed it like black people have. Mm. Like they haven't been saying, oh, you fag, like as if like, you know, about black people say, like, oh, okay, that's my nigga or something like that. They don't claim it like, that same way. So I can't say they've been
faggot.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't
that's
say
my
that.
Faggot.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah,
but like if you use it like as a joke almost, like oh stop acting like that, stop acting like a fag.
Yeah, like
but like there's two different words to use it as well as the N word is the same way.
So the N word is the same way. Can all right. So for those people that are like you know even that are African descent that say don't use that word, it's diminishing, it's degrading to our people. To those people, do you think that by you making that comment that faggot is equal to that person and that mindset,
yeah.
You really don't think they're going to have a problem with that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Listen, I think it comes down to...
How are you relating faggot from nigger when, you know, yeah. It comes from this history?
No, what I'm saying is...
And then the gay person is like, we were beat up too in the 80s and 70s.
Well, they use that yeah, they but, that same 13th Amendment is what they use to get the gay marriage passed.
Sir,
they
what's the 13th argument. Amendment for us?
GD it's what freed people. The slaves.
It's what freed the slaves.
Okay, so that's they use that same argument. In fact, it's written down in the not the legislation when they passed it. The argument, I forgot what it's called, but they used. They said the only reason why we're passing this law is because the 13th Amendment says freedom for all. Blah blah blah. Right.
Right.
Anyway, so the way I look at it is, what do you identify as? So if I say fag and you feel offended, it's because you that's what you feel like you identify as. You feel that. Like that's me.
Yeah.
Right? The same way if you use the N-word for somebody, if they get offended, it's because, hey, that's me. Like if you listen to what Dave Chappelle said, he goes, that's not me. So I don't feel a way about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, whatever, it's just a word. He doesn't feel like that. Because he doesn't identify as that. So when the lady when he used the word fag on his thing, she's like, well, you can't use that. And he's like, why? He's like, because you're not gay. He's like, well, I'm not a nigga either. He doesn't identify as that. So it doesn't bother him. You know what I'm saying? When people feel offended by it, it's because they identify as that's me. Somebody in the culture, the world, put that on them.
So because...
Nobody identifies as that.
Because we're in a generation where people don't want to hear. They just want to have their feelings expressed. They don't want to reason and go behind the thoughts behind words. Right? Mm-hmm. The ideas behind words. Because that's what I saw. And they're just making this big stink because he said the word. No, but like, did you listen to what he was saying?
It's funny. I feel like we have our memory got erased or something. Like this has been saying, people have been saying it for years.
Oh, yeah.
They're just words, guy.
That's you don't
think they're just words? Especially in a stand-up comedy, what's it called?
Like atmosphere, environment.
Yeah, environment. Yeah. This all jokes. If you're on that stage, you're telling a joke. And even comedians like Louis C.K., there was a point in one of his specials, he goes, okay, this joke, I have four kids. He doesn't really have it, but in the joke he does. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know that they're doing fake stories just to get the joke across.
But you know, like, I mean, I hear that. I'm never going to say words are just words because, I mean, they're powerful. At the end of the day, they convey message. I mean, you know, you have the Bible that's just a bunch of words, but to the people, it's life and even different religious stuff. So but like, even you, I remember I hear one person say like, he was doing like a spoken word and he's like, I know the only time people tell the truth, I know sarcasm is really the only time people want to tell the truth.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the good. Thing that makes a joke so good is because that tinge of reality that's behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you can't just really say it's just jokes.
People are saying that
there's that relatability.
Comedians or stand-up comedians are the prophets of the future. That's the thing that's being said.
Whoa.
Prophets.
You Sorry. Saw that, what's his
Not
name?
I'm not going to say prophets, but I get you.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I think Bill Burr's coming out with another stand-up, too.
They're all coming out with something sporadically, but...
And it's, what's his name? Chris Tucker? He's coming out with another one, too. Mm.
But how can this, even faggot, how can this one, down low, how is that a sex?
That's what they identify as? I don't know. Maybe this is terminology. Go back to the
terminology. I don't think these are terminologies.
I think you're just being a racist, bro.
I don't think this is a race.
Oh, sexist, sorry. Comparisons list of LGBT vocabulary definition.
Go back. I wish this was touchscreen.
See, like this is why. Yeah, I saw you say 51,
but I don't think that was like
how many. I was like 51. What?
Gender identity terms. Maybe that's it. Euphemisms.
This one?
Is that, what is that? I can't see that.
Turn it.
Examples. Click it, bro.
Clicking away.
But yeah, I think if you feel a certain way, you identify as that. It's
gender identity terms.
There's not 51 genders, but it's
there's not 51 it's something like genders.
That. But look it up, bro. We keep talking about it.
Bro, you could type it in, bro. I give you stuff and you don't use it. Type.
But go back. It's on the Google search already. You just got to find the right link.
Oh.
But yeah, people feel offended. Again, like if they feel like that.
Wait, there's a list of 58 gender options?
It grew?
I told you, bro. It's a lot.
Oh.
There you go.
Here we go. Now we got into it.
Agender cis. Hey. Cis female, cis male. I feel like some of them are like, okay. Gender fluid. They just decided to stretch this out. This is just one thing, but they made like four out of it.
Right? C.3, what's the difference between
cis male and cis man?
Male to male.
Well, first of all, there's a male and a female.
Cis men? Cis gender?
Gender men? Queer.
Neither. What's MTF?
Other.
Non-binary. Is this a math problem? We know some of these.
Wait, these are the same.
Yo, trans female. Trans
asterisk male?
There's more asterisks? Trans person?
Maybe on the top or the bottom it shows what the asterisks mean.
In the bottom it should.
Two-spirit?
What?
Oh, I heard about two-spirit. Yeah.
What?
I can't even see those that.
Esperitos?
I feel like somebody's made up for sure.
What does the asterisk stand for? Jeez, my gosh. What is happening in this world?
It wasn't in the bottom.
That's what I thought it was, but you see anything?
Wow. So jeez. The asterisks are just a...
They're just there for fun.
Everything.
Facebook introduced dozens of options for users to identify their gender today. Wow.
There you go. And then, you know, New York is a law for, I think it's for landlords and something else that you have to use
non-binary terms or something.
Yeah. So like whatever identifiers, you got to call me that. As soon as you start talking to me like that, I'm like, I can't talk to you. I'm going to make a mistake and you're going to get mad. I might as well just not talk to you.
Okay. Yo, I need you to talk to someone who's trying to be claimed, who's trying to like be called something else. Like, is there, oh, I'm, what happens to you if you like call someone a male, but they're claiming
a different thing?
Yeah.
If you're a landlord, they could like sue you, I think.
So you get sued, okay.
Yeah. But that's what Jordan Peterson for Jordan Peterson?
Yeah.
That's why he got a popular whatever, because in Canada he was going through that issue. He was saying, look, in a conversation, and I said the same thing, I think we were talking on the phone. If we're talking and you say, hey, I want to identify as whatever, I'm a female, I'm like, all right, I'll try my best to remember. But I'm going to make mistakes because in my eyes, you look like a guy.
Yeah, we were talking about right? that at the shop today.
I have a customer at the coffee shop.
Yeah. But but he was saying, in a casual conversation, we can do that. But as soon as you start making it law, now we have a problem. Because now you're forcing me to do something. When before it was just like a courtesy, like, yeah, we can do this together. Mm. And Ben Shapiro said the same thing. Because if we're just talking, I'll call you whatever you want.
Yeah.
But as soon as you either try to debate me in public or we're going to try to pass a law, now we change the situation.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to need you to do me a favor, bro.
What? Can you turn off that fan?
Yeah. Where's the fly swatter?
And it's also over there, too. It should be hanging against the wall or something. Bring that over here so we could do the thing and murder flies. We almost have a murdered fly in every episode now. Oh, it's become a thing. Until winter fully comes, you know, then we're good.
Do they really go away, though?
I feel like they migrate like the geese. Mm.
They kind of do like fall down. Yeah, fall out.
Yeah, it's cold.
Yeah, flies, bees.
And they're not lasting in your house with you in it. Nobody wants a fly. You gonna get them? So yeah, we were discussing that similar topic in the coffee shop.
And hey, you were about to say something about there was a customer.
Yeah, a customer of mine who is a man, but has gone through, I guess, just some physical appearances to portray himself as a woman. Likes to be called his name differently to make it sound like female. It's real interesting. Mannerisms and everything is off. Very feminine. So, but straight up dude. For sure. And from what I know.
Well, you can't call him a dude if you want to be, you know, sensitive.
Well, he never told me, hey.
Oh, okay. Okay, he never told you. Yeah. Gotcha.
He never made an issue.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, see, there's some things I can do.
It's ma'am.
Some things I can do. If you want to change your name, that's, you can do that by law, whatever. That's your business. I can. If you want to be, call you Cindy, I don't really care. Whatever you want.
Yeah, I don't care.
There's either. Certain things I'm going
to
do.
Why does Cindy have to get it? All the names Cindy came up.
I don't know. I was just trying to think of
what's Cindy in your life right now?
Cisgender. I was thinking of cisgender.
Oh, so you just kept it to the letter. How cute.
See, I think, and this is another type of conversation. We don't have to dig it. But it's like, is it necessarily okay if you don't care what that person does?
Is it okay? You're asking.
All need to stop caring so much about this.
I don't really
care. No, like people are like, I don't care. You know, many times when people try to say they're okay with it.
Go ahead. You can get
many times when people try to say that they're okay with it, a lot of their justification is, hey, I don't really care what. My bad.
You're good. Good. Yeah. Keep talking. Hey,
What you do, that's your life, that's your prerogative. But I feel like, is that okay to say? Like, are you okay with not caring what that person does as long as they do whatever makes them happy? Because what makes them happy today can be the very thing that makes them depressed tomorrow.
So you're saying by saying not, we should care.
We should care.
What capacity? And to what end?
I'm not saying you have to be a douche and say, oh, you're a female, so forget you, what it is that you want to care about. What it is that you want to identify as and everything. Like,
yeah, you're good.
Yeah. I don't think that's necessarily...
Because I feel like...
Yeah, to be a jerk. But I feel like for you to be like, hey, like for me, I see someone who's created as a woman, and even though they don't identify themselves as a woman, I think there's still a beauty in them being a woman, even though they don't identify it. And I personally would wish that they would embrace who they are. But if they feel like that's not who they are, well, okay, fine. Okay, fine. But that doesn't necessarily mean, hey, I love you just because I'm agreeing with you, or I'm agreeing with how you want to be portrayed.
So in other words, like, so this person that identifies something that they're biologically not,
mm-hmm.
that we as Christians or as humans?
It's humans, man. It's humans. Like, we've, and I think people have said this many times, but we've taken acceptance, we've mixed love and acceptance. Okay?
That's good.
Like, we think that just because... And we have to understand, we have to accept the person, but we don't have to accept their actions, or we don't have to accept their mind frame, but we have to accept that person. And that's what we've mixed it up. We've thought accepting what it is that their actions and what it is that they've done means that we've accepted them. No, it has not. It's not the same thing. But we just do it because we don't want to have controversy. Or we do it because we're afraid for someone to say
we're wrong. So what does it mean then to accept the person but not accept their lifestyle? And how do you go about it as a human? It's particularly a Christian human.
All right, so now looking at more biblical, one of the things I really like, I think it's in John chapter 6. Everybody likes to say the whole, he who was without sin cast the first stone, right? But they don't read that chapter continually. I mean, in its full entirety. Because you see, the woman was accused of adultery, and everybody was bringing up, and you know, the religious leaders, like, she's accused of adultery and all this, and Jesus, he not even caring. He's drawing his fingers in the sand, chilling, and he's like, all right, you know, who's without sin cast the first stone, and that's when they all walk away. And then the woman comes to him, and the first thing he said is, all right, your sins are forgiven, go and sin no more. Like, Jesus accepted her. But he still made it required that, hey, this issue in your life is still prevalent. Address it. But he never stopped loving her.
So
I think you're saying within a Christian context, we shouldn't accept that, right?
I'm saying both within Christian context and just even in life, whether you're Christian or not, just because, like, if you're my homie and I feel like you're going down a wrong path, or if you're my homie and I don't agree with a thing that you think, that doesn't mean I ever stop loving you. Like, it just means we don't agree on this, but I still care enough to give you my opinion, which I think can shed some light on something you're thinking that's a different perspective, you know?
Yeah, I think that's predominantly coming, it's going to stem from a Christian background, though. I don't think it's going to stem from a non-Christian's background.
I mean, but look at
they don't have that.
Look at our political system, you know? You hear the Democrat side, you hear the Republican side, so that you can make an educated decision. It's the same thing. You have your opinion, you hear another opinion, so that you can make an educated decision. And we still, what happens? The president is the president, and we have to agree, and we have to respect the office. Well, we should, not that everyone does, but we're still going to honor him as the president, whether he's a Republican, whether he's a Democrat, whether we agree with all his ideals or not. We still agree, hey, the fact that we're a nation and that we want to be united, we're still going to move forward. The fact that I'm still your friend and I still want to operate in love, though we disagree on this subject matter, and though, like, it's something, even though it's important to you, and even though it's important to you and we don't see eye to eye, that doesn't mean I ever have to stop loving you or stop moving forward with you in your life. And though it may come as a Christian background, I just think that's just life. Mm. You do that with family, with any family that wants to stick together. I have three siblings. We're all different opinionated, but at the end of the day, you know, for Christmas comes, get your butt in the house. whether you're happy with us or whether you're mad.
That is a very good answer. I'm glad it didn't come from you or me.
Yeah.
Because I think that for the outsider, it's hard because you have this understanding of, you know, the Christians being very judgmental and closed doors and niched and grouped and cultish, even some may say. But that's exactly right. The part that most people miss in that particular chapter is where Jesus accepts her and then it commands her, don't continue in this, you know. But you don't see that relationship between her and him, so it's easy to dismiss. But there is a relationship, you know, because Jesus ain't dead, right?
Yeah,
right. So, and it's difficult because I was talking to somebody earlier today about the church and like the whole perspective of the church, and this individual was distraught because this individual didn't feel like they belonged enough. They weren't doing enough. And I'm like, that's not why you should be going at all. You know, and it helped that person change their perspective, open up their perspective. But I'm glad you came out with that one in particular because it does get thrown around, the throwing of the stone, you know, and it gets used to the point where people are acting like they're the Jesus that commanded, you know, throw the first stone. Like, no. You one of them.
And you know what's funny, like everybody kind of gives the stick. I used to have that stigma, like, you know, Christians are very judgmental. You saw that, you know, y'all remember like a couple years ago that Southern Baptist group that used to like say God hates fags.
Westboro like Baptist that. Church.
Holla.
Yeah.
My favorite church.
Yeah,
he loves and that all that. I saw his application actually.
I'm still waiting for them to accept my application.
But now everybody was coming at, and I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, Christians can be judgmental. No, bro, like, yes, they can, but humans can be judgmental whether you're Christian or not. Like, I remember I was on a plane just a couple weeks ago, and I was talking to this girl. She was, you know, she asked me, you know, what music I listen to, and I personally like Christian hip-hop at times to listen to. So I mentioned to her, and, you know, of course that implies that I'm Christian. She was just like, her face changed. She's like, oh.
Imagine you're not a Christian, but you like Christian hip-hop.
Hey, I mean, yo, stranger things have happened.
I'm just feeling them, son.
Like, yeah, you know, stranger things have happened.
It's the beat. It's the way they drop the beat.
But no, she started, and so we got on the topic of abortion, and I told her, you know, I'm pro-life. And she literally looked at me and was like, well, I'm pro-choice, and you're wrong. And I was all like, okay, you have your opinion. She's like, no, I understand. Yeah, I have my opinion, you have yours, and your opinion's wrong. And I'm like, this is really funny because usually I'm the Christian guy supposed to be the one who's like the judgmental one or saying, hey, I don't accept your opinion. Right. She's literally telling me my opinion is wrong. And I was like, it just made me laugh because I'm like, yo, this whole like stigma that people try to put just because you worship a God and that you serve him and that you have ideals that others may not agree with and you're therefore judgmental. It's so wrong because people are doing the same thing. They just don't attach a God to it, so it's not as widespread.
Right.
Just tell them that you're pro-choice next time.
You said what? I'm pro-choice. So lie to her?
No, no. You know what he's saying? I'm pro-choice. Yeah. You have a choice to use a condom. You have a choice to say no.
That's his favorite line. I was waiting for it.
Yeah, yeah.
I borrowed that line, too.
Oh. I borrowed it. I have to use it.
I want to use it now, too.
It throws them off, and when someone who's that person, that response would piss that person off.
Probably, yeah. Well, I mean, hey, they're already pissed off. Why not?
Yeah.
Oh, they're already at that level, right?
Yeah, right.
You figure just slam dunk on them.
I one time had a dude yell at me in the library of all places because of my opinion on Christ.
Really?
Gee, the library's changed.
Just yelling, yeah.
I thought you weren't supposed to talk in the library.
Dude, I literally told him I'm leaving so I can study. Which is why I'm here. And he's still trying to argue with me.
Study the Bible. Get out of here.
Get out of here with that. That well, book.
Counting now. Soon. My freaking degree.
Is the Bible allowed in the libraries?
I think they have it.
Yeah,
it's in the fiction section.
Yeah, that'll be
this guy.
If you let them talk, if you let them ramble.
It's the one-liners, man.
If you let them ramble, there'll be so many lost people out there because of him. So confused. What is Christianity?
I'm thinking about something that I wanted to mention that I realized recently that I dislike so much, specifically from Christians. And it's about Trump's position in office. And the reason that he got there, some Christians are like, God gave him the authority. And they relate it to a specific portion in scripture about
God ordains the leaders, right. Kings and the reason right, something
why,
like,
I wonder if it has to do with the Harbinger, the book The Harbinger kind of talks about it.
I don't know. The reason why I don't like that statement a lot of times when I hear it, and it's super random because this is something I just remembered, is because I feel like when you're saying God put this person in authority, I'm like, didn't we, like, or people who voted put him in authority, not God per se? So, and then that for me makes me wonder what non-Christians think who don't vote for Trump, and like they read that from a Christian, like God put him in authority, and it's like, then he's making decisions that,
I guess that's how you think about it.
As a Christian, you're saying that God put him in authority. I feel like he's making God look some sort of way.
It depends on your biblical view, because you can say God put him in authority, meaning God puts everybody where they are, so this just happens, or God specifically chose this leader to run the country. And in that case, I'd be like, I don't know about that.
And he chose that leader through you, the believer.
Yeah.
I don't think, first of all, I'm not even going to say I don't think. I know he's not a Christian, 100%. There's no way a person, that kind of person is, the way he behaves and the way he talks and the things he says and does, there's no way he's an actual
Bible believer. I never drew the Bible line that the storm was going this way.
Did you see what he said about 2 Corinthians? He didn't say 2 Corinthians, he goes 2 Corinthians. That's how you know he didn't read the Bible. He has no idea because he says 2 Corinthians instead of 2nd. Right? So if you're a Christian, you know 2 Corinthians.
Right.
Not 2 Corinthians. So that's how you know right off the bat.
Donald's Christianity is like the first thing that comes up when you Google and it says the definition.
Yeah.
That's it right there. Mm-hmm. It says it in the Bible somewhere.
I agree. Like, again, I'm like, I kind of ride the fence on this. Some things, yeah, some things, no. I definitely don't like the way he talks, his demeanor, like all that. I hate that crap. That's how I know he's not a Christian, because he doesn't have any fruits. He doesn't bear any fruits, right?
That's a good point.
But, you know, whatever. He was only going to be there for another, what, 4 more years? 5 more years, maybe? So
why are you getting people pissed off?
He's going to be there for a while.
Nah, I think he's going to get... But, hey, you know.
It depends who he runs
against.
He's
going to be there for a while.
Yeah.
I'm just worried about the other. I'm he worried about it doesn't matter term. To me, both options right now are really bad. We have nobody on one side and we have Trump on the other
side. But with Hillary and Trump, it was like bad, worse.
Yeah, but who we have now?
Now it's the like if we still we just stay at bad because everything else is still worse.
Yeah, but see the another thing too is that like I have my views on this Democrat, Republican, whatever, but at least with the Republican position, they don't agree on themselves. They argue with themselves. So if you're trying to pass something, they're like, oh, no, you just don't pass that. I think with Trump, though, they kind of align themselves the wrong way. But definitely the Democrats are, like, forced into position. I think the new Democrats are forcing a position that everybody feels like they have to agree with. Otherwise, they're not going to get kicked out. Mm-hmm. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like if mm-hmm. they say, oh, you gotta say this, this, and the third. If you don't agree with that, you're gonna get you're not getting nothing. You're not getting no votes, no TV time, nothing. So they have to kind of bend to that will. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's gonna push us in a position. The whole country is going to be pushed far left already than it already is.
But the funny thing is, like, yeah, they keep pushing each other left. Like, there was that one time where that Cortez lady came at, like, Nancy Pelosi, who has been, like, the woman face of the Democrats.
Yeah, yeah.
And was saying she was belittling minority women of color because she appealed to them to see, okay, guys, you know, I don't necessarily agree with your approach, but what can we do to do things better? And this Cortez lady said, oh, she's holding us under pressure. And I'm like, yo, this lady who's paved the way for y'all to even have a voice here, you're now uprooting her because you're, you know, a woman of color and you're oppressed now.
The left is eating the left.
You know what it is, too? They made the word moderate a bad word. When moderate should be fine. We should be somewhere in the middle where we're meeting and talking and figuring things out.
Let's meet in the middle on this.
Yeah, if you're all the way over there and I'm all over here, we're never
going to agree. Now, if you want to be a moderator, you might as well be a Trumper too.
But see, to me, that actually gives me kind of relief because it's all like, all right, you're going to call me a jerk regardless. I'm going to go full-blown jerk. Like, I'm going to go full-blown all the way with no abandon. Like, with full abandon.
Yeah, I get that.
I forget what study it was.
It's kind of liberating. Actually,
to let it out. You think that the left is just letting out frustration? But they're not really thinking. They're just like, ah!
You got to bring the mic closer to
you. Is that what's happening? I have no idea.
If you watch, I haven't done it in a while, right? But when I do it, I get into these zones sometimes for like a day. I go back and I watch when Trump was elected president.
Yes.
The TV thing, everything that was going on. And I just watch him.
Did you see college campuses when he
They go elected? Crazy.
Yo, my college campus was depressed.
Yeah, they shut that thing.
Depressed.
Did they look at? Did they know your? Wait, what is your political stance? Did you vote for Trump?
Did I vote for
Trump? Damn, it's like, do I want to reveal that in this show?
I don't want to get in trouble. My family's gonna.
Trump.
You did?
I'm a black man who voted for Trump.
Oh,
you guys. But hey, I told you I was gonna keep it real here.
Wait, let me say something though. Let me say something though. People think that minorities are a monolith. That they have together. We move this position.
My friend almost broke his friendship with me because he said my man had to literally take a day away from me.
My cousin said,
but he loves me now.
Mad late, like, and I don't understand because they know I wouldn't have voted for Hillary, so they know. But my cousin, mad late, recently a year ago, was like, "You voted for Trump? I'm sorry, but you're not. We're no longer cousins." I'm like, "How'd you manage to erase our blood kind?"
Yeah, big facts.
We're not allowed to have difference of opinion. And we're not allowed to be individuals.
Love and acceptance is not the same. Like, acceptance of your actions or your thoughts is not the same thing.
As loving a person.
As loving the person.
Just love the person.
Exactly.
What they do, how they do, that's on them. That's necessarily condoning it.
Exactly.
Mm.
Exactly.
Acceptable.
Shut up, you little whore.
I knew someone, and I'm keeping things vague because... just a little person.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. I don't like to throw people's names out there.
So I knew someone that was going through like the LGBTQ thing, and like she stayed in contact with another one of my family members.
I know it's a girl now.
Who didn't approve of it, but they would have lunch together. They would always meet. She would always, you know, just to be there for her. But when, you know, her partner ended up breaking things up with her, and she was going through suicidal thoughts, she was feeling depressed and lonely. The person she came back to was my family member. And before you know it, you know, like all the pills that she was on of like psychiatric stuff, all the things she was going through, she didn't go through it when she found, she didn't have to go through it anymore after really changing her, after really coming to my family member and being there, receiving their advice, actually accepting Jesus back into their life after that. And she did a complete 180.
And see, people think that. Oh, they accepted Jesus immediately. Healed.
Yeah.
It's a miracle. I'm sure for that person, it was a journey after they accepted Christ, right?
It probably was. But the change-up also happened rather quickly, too.
Everyone's different. Yeah, but
how God works, I can't necessarily put... It's not a science, and I think that annoys people because you can't predict it. You know, the way, you know, God... That's what pissed off the Jews too. The government was supposed to be on Christ's shoulders. You know, he was supposed to come and restore things back to the Jews. But Christ didn't come back as the king they wanted. He came back and he was crucified. I mean, your savior crucified. That's supposed to give you hope. So, but God doesn't do things the way we look. Like, he was more interested in restoring the world to him rather than just the Jews. He was more interested in having the people who loved him by faith rather than people who just wanted, you know, legalistic doctrine. And I mean, when we can't put God in a box, I think that's the thing that's annoying. I know that's the thing that made it hard for me to believe in him a couple years ago, was the fact that I couldn't predict what God would do, or the fact that I couldn't reach out to him. I couldn't talk to him like this. Yet he still felt so very real at the same time.
Yeah, but I think if you put God in a box, he's not God.
You know what I'm saying? Big facts. Big facts. I agree with that.
That's another thing, right? And when we pick and choose what God looks like, then that can't be God either.
That's true.
Yeah. Right?
Because we definitely know he was like Asian, right? That's what it was?
Did sir. Trying to figure it out? Yeah, he was Indian,
East.
Bro.
I think Middle East.
No, but they said that his bloodline comes from Asia. To you about
Asia?
Oriental?
Are you saying God knows how to make pork fried rice?
Y'all need to chill.
Our guest is putting...
He does, though. Maybe he should, right? He don't make pork rice. He knows everything. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. Don't knock the question. So do others in your circle know that you're... Okay, just because you voted for Trump, that doesn't make you a Republican, right?
I mean, well, like, if you... There were Democrats... There were Democrats that voted for Trump this time around. Last time around, I mean, in 16.
Yeah.
Because they didn't trust Hillary.
Think about it, people voted Obama, and then Trump. Mm-hmm. So you're telling me now they're racist? They hate everybody. They want to just be white power only. You know what I'm saying? People don't think. They forget about the past. Like, just because I like you. And then, you know what? That's not that bad either, actually. Mm. But now it's like you have to either be a left or right. There's no middle ground. And it's not left or right a little bit. It's either you're far left or far right. And that's it.
Yeah, you know, like, I realize, for me, I'm not Republican. I'm not Democrat. But I do sometimes tend to lean more towards a Republican mindset. However, I can't say I study politics the most, but one thing I did know is I studied a little bit of economics, and like, even with economics, it's just so funny. Economics is so complicated it's so multivariable, I should say. So many different facets that anybody can just pick one part and use that to defend their argument.
Yeah.
You know, which I is think annoying. As a person that likes, economics, I say this almost everybody though, but I think something you would like is libertarianism.
Oh, here we go.
I think that's some extreme.
Have you looked into it?
Libertarianism,
where like government is completely hands off and it's just in the power of the people.
No, wait. Well, libertarian is also like Democrat and Republican, where they have their extremes, and the extreme would be like anarchy, which is not
okay. Yeah,
so I wouldn't go. I would never go that far.
Okay,
but I would. The way I view libertarianism, at least my view is, it's right. It's in the realm of the right, but it's not run by the government. We're free. We have our own people. So it's like it's like a break off of the right, almost, it feels like. Where it's like everybody has individual rights, right? So the way I tell people is like this: you dance, I dance, but don't step on my toes. And that's the way we live our life. Don't step on my toes. And we just do whatever we want. Live the way you want to live, just don't step on my toes.
He's a libertarian.
Yeah. So that's why I'm at the place where it's like, all right, if that's the way you want to live your life, live your life. As a Christian, I'll tell you, but at the end of the day, you make your own decisions.
Yeah, I guess for me, it's just
as a Christian, like, you're stepping on toes, no?
Well, that's what I'm saying. About not forcing them by law, like the way they're forcing us to do things by law.
Well, how do you define stepping on toes? You know,
that's what I mean, that's forcing by law. Yeah. So like, for instance, the way we were talking about before, saying if you want to be called a woman, I'll call you that if that's really what you want. But as soon as you start putting laws and saying now you're going to be forced, now you're stepping on my toes. Before, I was giving you a little leeway. Oh, you want to dance? I'll give you some space to dance. But now you're forcing yourself upon me. And it's like, nah, we can't have that.
Be you, but don't force you upon me. Yeah, then make it that I have to...
bend to you.
Bend to you or your idea or your anything. Mm-hmm. And because when you do that, then you're taking away the freedom.
Yeah. And I think that's what America's so...
You're violating the first.
Yeah, yeah.
You're violating the first.
I get that, but then what's the purpose of laws then? I mean, not saying... Because... Every law is invasive, if you want to go there.
We have to separate the Constitution, our rights, our men to from what, like laws and bills, I think, a little bit, because one is explaining sort of what we have, and the other one is saying this is what you can't do, and we agree that you can't do that as a society because you're not here alone. So we agree that, yeah, if you stab somebody, we're going to call that murder.
But every other law is like an agreement. We did agree on it.
We did, but
I think also...
It's just also more new, so we feel the sting a little bit more.
But I think, okay, look, for instance, that's going to be a little controversial, but I think the passing the bathroom law was an infringement on a lot of people. When you're talking about such a small section of society, we could just handle it a different way. We don't have to force the nation.
But how do they label those bathrooms now?
Just none. You don't have to have a men's or woman's bathroom. You can choose whatever bathroom you want to go to, right? But they should also have like a non, whatever. They have like family bathrooms, some of them, where you can just go in by yourself. That's fine. Why can't we just do that? Why does it have to be like, oh, now there's no labels in the bathroom. You choose whatever you want.
So I only have a problem with that when it's a single stall and it's a single unit environment, then I would just put bathroom.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? When it's a multi... stall unit, is it male, is it female, is it other?
And I've been to bathrooms where I thought a woman was that came to the bathroom. She's in the bathroom, and I was like, oh, it's not, that's a dude. But I didn't think anything like, oh, we gotta kick her out of here, or him, whatever, you know what I'm saying? I was like, ah, you gotta use the bathroom, everybody gotta use the bathroom, you know what I'm saying? So you're taking such a small incident probably that happened somewhere in this country, and you're forcing the whole nation to bend to that. Which is like, it's not that pervasive of a problem for to force. It's not like saying, I have a company.
If it's so small, why don't they just get their own bathroom?
That's what I'm saying. Rent a stall. Figure out something else. Like, or maybe in that state.
Let because the then they're be saying, oh, it's segregating.
What does that accomplish? Because here's what's going to happen, right? All right. So a guy who identifies as a female saying, hey, I identify as a female. I want to be able to go into the women's bathroom. Because when I go into the men's bathroom, I feel like I don't belong. I feel like that's it. I've like succumbed to a label that's not me. Okay? But then they go to the women's bathroom, and then they're getting stares and judgments, and they're like, I feel uncomfortable because these women don't accept me being a woman. So where do you want to go? Where do you want to leak? Dude, if it's up to me, I'm going to leak where I want to freaking leak. Like...
I think, and I also think that solution is passed by society, not by government.
I mean,
right?
But do you get what I'm saying? I don't know.
Like, people would just get used to it, right? And I'll give you an example. When
that's what people do in the bathroom, they leak.
In the as soon as they walk in, they just start pouring all over. Ah, man, I'm leaking.
My pads.
No females are gonna watch this show.
Yeah. So, like in America, the North, they pass laws. And this is like after the slaves got freed. The North, they're like, all right, they can use whatever bathroom they want. As time progressed, people were just like, whatever about it. They're like, all right, use whatever bathroom you want, whatever, right? In the South, they held those laws. They had segregation. So people felt a certain way about it for longer, right? If you just let people do whatever they want, eventually people just get used to it. They're like, ah, whatever bathroom. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? In the South, they got used to a certain way. It's just society passes that stuff. If you just let people get used to, you know, it's going to take a couple years for transsexual people to use different bathrooms. People just get used to it. You know what I'm saying? You see enough people coming to bed like, ah, whatever, just whatever.
That's true.
You just, don't get me wrong. There's going to be some people that are just a-holes. It's just life, yo. Get used to it. You got to get used to them. But society will pass that. As time progresses, people get used to it. When you pass laws, now you're forcing a divide of the country that people are going to start fighting over. And I think that's unnecessary. The government should not get involved in that. That's none of the government's business.
Same thing with abortion?
No, but the abortion is different because you're infringing on somebody's rights. That child has a right. And don't tell me that you don't think it's a child, because if I took those same cells and put it on Mars, you'd be like, yo, that's life. Right? So it's life. We all agree that's life. Scientists agree that's life. Right? If you take that DNA and you put it on a murder scene, we're going to find out who that person is. We're going to say he's a male. We're going to say this. We're going to figure it out. Because we know that that's a person's blood. That's a person. So that person, as a person, has rights. And we're not allowed, we shouldn't infringe on that person's right to take away his life or her life, whatever.
So might.
And again, that's why I say pro-choice. You could have chose not to get pregnant.
But I agree with that. And I'm still pro-life. But I've really started to sympathize a lot more with women who've chosen abortion. Because being from Baltimore, you see the big, to me, what the big issue in many urban homes is the lack of fathers.
Yeah.
It's the lack of fathers in the household. There's something that you get from a dad. There's something you get from a mom that's healthy to every single child. And so when there is no lack of father, when there's a lack of father and all a young girl knows is rejection because her dad, she never has gotten safety from her dad's arms. She's never had a chance to be a daddy's girl. And then if she's fortunate, she has a loving mother. But if you're in Baltimore, you also know she's now getting cut up by her mother, who's insulting her, who's calling her good for nothing, whose mom is now sleeping with a different guy every other month because she's, the mom's trying to get away from loneliness and gets knocked up every now and then. She may even been dealing with drugs. So now she is looking for love. So any guy that gives her attention, especially a teenage girl already deals with wanting attention when she has a dad and a mom. Now, let's say that someone who doesn't have a father and a verbally abusive mother. So now she gets attention from a guy who just comes and flirts her right up. And that guy, he doesn't like a condom. Why? Because it doesn't feel good. So
calm down, Noel.
Yeah, yeah. Because it feels better when it's not.
Look how excited he got. It's disgusting. Yeah. So go to the bathroom.
So now he taps.
Hey guys, it doesn't feel the same, right?
So then he taps it. She gets pregnant.
Taps it.
Yeah. However way you want to put it.
Tap.
Let me use my euphemisms to myself, okay? All right? He engages in sexual intercourse with her.
There you go. Sounds a lot more appropriate.
Okay. And now she's pregnant. How does that... sure, it was her choice, but can you really... I understand those choices. She didn't have the pleasure of having youth group. She didn't have the pleasure of having someone who cared for her. And now she's stuck with a child whom she hasn't really even seen the best parenting.
But again, I think this all comes back to society. This is society's doing.
But this is where I say
that. It takes society to fix it.
Right. And
we have to come together.
Like, we do have to hold the man responsible. I think that's a big... Because too many times...
Well, somebody was saying that if women are going to have the... If women are saying this is my body, my choice, and have, you know, pro-choice and go with the pro-choice option, that somebody was saying, this is not my words, but somebody was saying, well, then men in that male that didn't have a choice in this, when you do decide to have the baby, then I don't have to choose to pay child support.
Yeah, if you have a choice, I have a choice.
If you have a choice, I have a choice. I don't want that baby. I want to abort the baby. You want to have it, so now you pay for it. But that's not the way it works, right? The woman has the baby. The guy has to pay regardless.
He's stuck. Yeah, he has no choice.
There is no choice for the male.
Yeah. But it's just too easy for the male to abandon. And I don't know how to fix that.
Yeah.
It's too easy for the man to say,
it's society.
That's for the male thing, it's society. And I challenge the church.
But how do you change that?
The church.
We have to change that.
The church. The people. The body.
Even not the church. Just let's say.
The body. The people.
We have to do it.
The people.
Agree.
So I give you an example. We're scared to talk about sex with our kids. Because why? Because nobody ever talked.
First of all, no one ever told me anything about
sex.
That's
what I'm saying. So that's why we don't do it to them.
It was a cultural.
We should 100% talk to them about sex.
Yep,
and we should treat it like a normal thing.
Yep, like another, like this is how you make coffee.
Sex. Guess what? When they even have sex, but we also have to teach within the context of marriage, sex is a beautiful thing. When you're outside of the context of marriage, now you're risking things. Now you're risking having a baby daddy. Mm. Because you might not last. You should have got married. You should have waited. You would have had a chance to have a family.
You're risking diseases. You're risking potentially getting pregnant. You're risking your feelings, your emotions to be exposed and abandoned. You're risking friendships. You're risking a lot of it because there's more that comes to an effect when you're pouring yourself out. The act of sex usually for females in particularly because male, I don't think are shown love and affection because they're not. They're told to don't cry, be a man. Mm-hmm. But for women, they pour themselves emotionally into the act where, the, you know, the guy is just like,
let me just then, get, yeah, yeah.
He just taps and leaves.
Sir, get out now. You know, I was having this conversation earlier with a female, and you know, my and I was very careful not to try to be that guy. But at least introduce another aspect of it. And that's why I'm like, definitely take the decision of abortion away from the government. The government. Let's bring it down. Yeah. Let's bring it down to the state.
And look, and I
but
even,
what people didn't like was when it was illegal. So, we, like, there's only two options, really. It's legal or illegal. Yeah. I mean, I would like to say bring the government out of it, but what's going to happen, it's either two options. It's either legal or it's illegal.
What I'm saying is...
Wait, let's play that game. Let's follow it through, right? Let's say it's illegal where we live right now.
It's illegal here.
If it's illegal, let's talk about what would happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, illegal, you know, before Roe v. Wade, really, was the thing. In order to get abortions, you had to do it at some kind of side clinic that...
Or you got the clothes hanger?
Yeah, I'm sure. Jeez. Like, it had to be like... I don't know how they do it. Like, that. All right, so... No. It's because one of my pastor's wives was talking about how it had to be done. Like, it's middle of the night. You went to some guy who was, like, you know, more so in a like, hidden, kind of forbidden place. And, you know, you could be going to a super nice guy. You could be going to a very corrupt guy. You don't know what type of tools they are. You just know the baby's not going to be there when you're done. Some cases, it was a dangerous abortion and the person can die. In some cases, it was really successful and the guy, he did it very well.
I'm glad you didn't get too graphic. But they had to
do it hidden. Nobody really knows. And get it done.
I wonder if society would reconsider all the... What happens before getting pregnant? If they would reconsider all that, if abortion was, hey, you might die. People would be like, you know what? I'm not going to get pregnant. I'm going to be more careful.
Yeah.
And I think it's just too easy. So they're like, I'll just get an abortion. It's only $300. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm.
This is a topic that I feel that the men, dads, young men that are stepping into the workforce, into the field, into the community, I think it's really on us to be better fathers, be better examples of what it means to be a male.
But when you have a father who hasn't even been around, you don't even have a context of that.
Right. So I've always said that.
That's what I'm like right now. I have four boys. My dad didn't raise me. I have no idea what I'm doing. Every day I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. I'm learning something new.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I have a 16-year-old that I'm learning, obviously, because it's my first oldest. But then I got babies that I kind of know because I've dealt with this before. But even with them, I'm still trying to figure things out.
But one thing that's fortunate is, like, you have Christ as your Lord and Savior. So you have a frame of reference of a father.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a frame of reference of God the Father. You have a frame of reference of Jesus being sacrificial.
And even in church, I see what real dads look like.
Exactly.
Yeah, but not only that. You have
some people who don't see that.
Right. But, right. That's right. There is a point of reference. But even in that, I tell my son, listen, just like it's your first time being a teenager or a kid alive, it's my first time being a dad. Mm. And if we're not talking about it, we're guaranteed to fail. Yeah. So if you can't feel you could come to me and talk, then we're going to fail in this relationship. Yeah. And it's going to divide us, not bring us together.
And I think men are afraid of emotion. They're just scared to have
Because
it's a sign of weakness. That's how they kind of feel.
But it was it was superimposed on us through society that men don't cry. Men provide.
Yeah.
Right? And that's not the case. And when you... And again, I'm just acknowledging what, if you look at history, I've said this before, I'm just acknowledging that when women entered the workforce, first of all, it wasn't by choice. It was to build the weapons and the bullets to fight the wars. Yeah, yeah. Okay? Second, when they were given this opportunity, and I say given, like if we gave them a privilege, they said we want to be able to work and they stepped into the workforce. It took away the only one thing the male had in the household, which was to provide. Now, women can provide. We don't need no man. I don't need no man. I get my own money. Mm-hmm. You heard that before? So what did the guy do? The male in that scenario said, well, I don't need to be in the house, so I'm out. So then he lost
his identity almost.
He lost his identity and he lost this connection and this example that he can then model. So then what does he do? There's no point in me working. The mom is making the money. So what is my purpose and how do I find happiness? And then somewhere along the line, happiness became how many women can I sleep with? Mm-hmm. and they go into these relationships.
That, it was, you get married.
Yeah, there was a tradition behind it, and now the goal of what the meaning of happiness to a young man in today's society, and this started back in the late 90s, is that, yo, how many shorties you bag, son? You ain't a happy man. I mean, yo, it questioned their manhood. It became a question of their machoism, and they substituted a real, true, genuine relationship with a woman. In a traditional setting, they traded that true relationship for 5-10 minute 1 week pleasures. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is that they eventually get to the point where, damn, I'm still not happy. Why? Because you weren't shown what the value of a relationship is, good, bad, ugly. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have society now where issues like abortion, self-identity becomes in question.
That's probably why this generation is, they don't know who they are.
How would they?
And I said it before, the youth group I dealt with 10 years ago are dealing with dramatically different issues than this new youth group now. They are dealing with emotional issues. Back then, it was all about gangbanging, my cousin got killed.
One thing I love about the new youth is they keep it real with you. Like, just how they're, because they're so much more in tune with their feelings. They're much more, it's a culture that, social media has gotten people want to express more.
So the problem with that, I want to tap right there, is that they know how they definitely have the ability to express their emotion, mm-hmm. but what they weren't taught was to how to go about dealing that with emotion.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right. So you know, they're told, make a sign, put on a mask.
Let's go out there and protest.
Beat people up who are not with us.
But they don't want to talk about the problem.
No.
They just want to say, hey, that's why I'm saying. I feel like this. And
actually, this kind of segues into something that, like, you were bringing up with. Now, mind you, like I say, I'm ignorant in certain things of politics, so I'm not going to talk like the most recent one. But one thing that used to irritate me about the Black Lives Matter movement was, I was asking, what is the end goal? What are you trying to accomplish? I mean, like, are you trying to get a new law? How do you make the law less racist? Like, I'm talking about what's etched in stone, the statutory law. Because Martin Luther King was able to accomplish that for us. He got it done in the 1960s.
And it's like when somebody says systematic racism, like, but show me where it is.
What is your goal? Is it just to complain, to make people feel guilty? Because you need to stop that. Because, I'm sorry, I don't... Some people are okay with white guilt. I'm not. Because I'm not okay with you saying, okay, you know, my forefathers did this, so this means I should be ashamed of it. Like, no, be aware of their ignorance, but be aware that that's also not you.
Like, and they feel so bad. The white people feel so bad that they feel bad about who they are themselves. Yeah. They're like, I'm sorry, I'm white. It's like, I don't care what you are.
Yeah.
You can be white back
then. And then that's another issue. Now, how do we deal with white guilt self-esteem?
We're going to see that with their kids. Watch, when their kids grow up, we're going to see some wild, we're going to see the rebellion of that. Mm-hmm. They're going to be like, that's right, I'm white and I'm proud. What up? Because that's what happens each generation. Yeah,
no.
Each
no,
generation big facts. Yo, rebels. Can you
imagine? Yo, don't say the white. Don't say the W word. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what's going to happen. We saw that through generation. Follow history generation. They rebel. The young people rebel.
That's crazy, right?
Like, yeah, before, like, not necessarily previous, but like two generations back, they wouldn't even imagine saying the N word to each other. It just was not a thing. Out of respect. It was almost... You can almost say it's almost equivalent of calling the man a B word. They wouldn't dare say it, but a now bitch? It's yeah.
Oh yeah, I use bitch all the time. That's a bitch right there.
Butterfly.
Because you are a butterfly.
You're such a
But now we're just throwing that thing around.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely are.
So, and then also when they say black lives, this is another thing that frustrates me when I talk to people about that. It's like, all right, Black Lives Matter. 100% I got your back. But what black lives are we talking about? Are we talking about only the ones that are in a conflict with the white people? Or we're talking about black people in general? American black or a country? What black people are we talking about? Because as soon as we start talking about Chicago had X amount of murders this weekend, nobody cares. It's like, oh, let them kill themselves. We don't really care about
white man.
We don't care about those black people. It's only the ones that are being in encounters with the white people that we care about. Mm. And that's what bothers me about it. It's like, but somebody needs to fix that.
And that's actually, now, another thing that also irritates me now on the opposing side, and I don't always like criticizing the church because I still identify with the church. It's like criticizing my own family. You know, I recognize my family's got issues, but I'm going to love them to death, and I'm not going to just be cool with people.
Nah, but you're going to love them more when you address that issue.
Yeah. So one thing, I know the church, like nowadays, we're not afraid to, we don't shy away from politics, you know? Really? They'll talk about, you know, how we have to be pro, they'll talk about being pro-life, they'll talk about being against gay marriage and stuff. But why don't these religious leaders touch on the subject of black kids getting shot by white cops? I don't just mean black. I mean, that's literally what happens. A white cop shoots a black kid.
And what happens when
why don't they express an opinion on that? I mean, we say they express an opinion on everything else controversial. But that, with having black members in their congregation, as if they're not sensitive to that. And, like, I'm not saying necessarily you have to go on the pulpit and voice your opinion, because that can cause a disruption. But why not talk to them? Be aware, like, okay.
It doesn't have to be on the pulpit.
Yeah, yeah. Why not just talk to a couple, maybe even a couple who are leaders who you can be vulnerable with, who you know they'll love you regardless of your stance. Be like, hey, you know, I know this Black Lives Matter thing, it's common. I don't necessarily like how it's approached. How are people feeling about this?
Yeah.
But I also think, too, is the police. Yeah. The police, I mean, I think they're doing it more in New York. I've noticed it more. We have the same cops in the same neighborhoods all the time. But I think the police need to get more involved into community. Like, hey, look at us. We're not just the guys that's going to arrest you or your parents.
So that's what they're doing available, in New York.
Yeah. What's up?
In we're New available. York, they launched a community-based program with those.
But that's how they were supposed officers. That's what they were supposed to be. Like,
yeah, everybody knows who the cop is. And what? Listen, if you know citizen who the cop on patrol, is,
that's what it's
called. If you know the cop who he is, right? If you know him, you see him every day. That's the cop. And if the cop is cool and he talks to people, whatever, are we really going to shoot that cop? We know the cop. My mom knows he helped my mom with the groceries the other day. He helped this lady. We're not just going to kill him. He's part of the neighborhood. You know what I'm saying?
See, why not? Why is that difficult?
Because you got to understand, crime in itself is a rebellion. And a representation of authority, your rebellion is anti that.
So you're saying that people are committing these crimes because they're rebelling against the relationship between the whites and the blacks?
No, I'm just talking about crime in general.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end of the day, when the cops told, okay, we now have to go into this neighborhood and figure out who committed this crime, or we gotta bust this gang, and we gotta bust this gang, or we gotta bust this drug thing that's happening. Because the people have now rebelled against what was the established law. They're doing drugs and stuff like that. So now when the cops going under that, and now you have people who are in the community who love the people who are committing the crime. Now it's like, or people who are affiliated with them. You now got it. Now shooting is an extremity, but you'll shoot the cop to propagate yeah. your
But I think also rebellion. That is also a society issue. We need to talk to our young people and be like, hey,
again,
don't break the law. We got to figure out a better way.
Yeah, but another, there's still always going to be people who are going to do it.
Right? Yeah, yeah, but okay. But those people belong in jail. Those people are the ones that are. Yeah, yeah.
Those are the ones that you should be looking for.
But there's so many kids that if you just talk to them, they'll leave that situation. They're like, I'm just looking for a family. Mm-hmm. You know how many, I used to be in a gang, so I know how many kids are like, I don't have a dad. And they're looking for a father figure, and the gang member's like, yo, y'all can chill with me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you just provide that for them, like, yo, you can chill with me over here.
Yeah,
they'll leave that lifestyle. They don't want to be in that lifestyle. They're just looking for a father figure.
So another way of sort of looking at it, like a similar analogy was used when I had a conversation about the teachers, you know. And the thing is, most of the I've spoken to teachers that are in the field, and they're like, you know, they blame us, the teachers, but it starts at home.
Oh yeah,
right. So that's take that part. Same analogy when it comes to the black community. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It should be the parents that should say, listen, this is an officer. It just as the cops should be reaching out to the community should be reaching out to the cops.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what you were saying with the accounting, that it's like multifaceted, what you said before.
Multivariable.
I think that's the same way we have to look at the communities. You have the adults, and I'm not even going to say parents, adults. Because back in the day, it didn't matter if you were related to the person. If they saw you doing something in the street, they would tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
They might even smack you in the back of the head. You know what I'm saying?
Like
I think it's the adults have to mentor the younger people. The cops need to engage with the community.
And like, it's not just the community. It's not even a community. But hold on. Yeah, hold on. Right, it's you're right.
Different communities living together.
Right, but the thing is, there are resources that are not just church that an adult can go in and tap into. An adult can go in and tap into the next generation. For example, the Boys Club, right? There's plenty of organizations that you could get yourself involved in and be an adult role model and be that adult role model to that male kid that doesn't have a father at home, and let them know, listen, this is what you do in a situation with a law enforcement officer.
Yeah. And I just want to say something, and I'll speak directly to the church if you're listening. We are in a deficit of leaders in the church. You don't have to be a theologian to be a church leader. You just got to be willing to be a leader. And all that stuff is going to come as you move towards it. The people that are already established there, they would love to mentor you guys into a leadership position. But it just takes you to take those steps to do it, right? And as a few weeks ago, we have nursery. A few weeks ago, we had to cancel nursery because we had nobody to do it. Wow. Now, that's unheard of. We have about 200 members in our church.
Wow.
Why isn't nobody doing nursery? Why aren't we more volunteers? I'm doing Sunday school by myself every Sunday, and I just started getting one or two people to help me. But even that is like,
yeah. But I have a suggestion. Suggestion to that. Telling the people, listen, we have needs here. I'm just trying to sit as someone who just accepted Christ. I've been doing maybe coming to church for a year now. Telling that person, you know, we need help in these areas. It's almost frightening because I don't know what I'm doing. Instead of just saying, here's the areas where we need help, it's saying, here we're going to have a little session about this area where we need help and what this means, what it entails, and the tools and resources that you'll have to see the task through.
But I think I'm talking about more establishing church members. Because like the new church members, we got Bible study. How many Bible studies do we have a week in the church?
Like four now.
Four. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, right? Mm-hmm. In all boroughs, all five boroughs?
I think
we have Manhattan, right?
I don't think
that's because people. Those individuals are looking for identify.
But I'm saying for the new members, they go there. The people that are already established, that been going to church for a while, they should really start helping out.
But maybe
especially as mentors.
But maybe there should be some kind of class or explanation of why it's healthy to help out.
But I think
that not only for the church, but for you as an individual.
Yeah, but I also. Would say that, that's also that same thought, saying we have to tell people why it's good to do this, that same idea should be cast on society as well.
Yes.
Saying, look, this same mentality that you're an adult and you need to mentor the younger people, they don't even have to be younger than you, just less. When I got married, I was emotionally immature. I was an adult, but I was emotional because I didn't have emotional experiences. Nobody hugged me. Nobody kissed me. I didn't experience that much.
Oh, he needs a hug and a kiss, guys.
But it's true though. When like as an adult, I don't know how to hug somebody all the time. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I think that the people with experience should really take that position of mentoring somehow. Take time out of your day and explain to somebody why you're doing something or how to do it. Opening up a bank account was like walking in the moon to me. I didn't know how to get there.
Quick question. Both parents? Growing up?
Just mom, predominantly. Dad was in and out.
Yeah.
Both parents.
My grandmother raised me. My mom died when I was 16, and I barely knew her. And my dad was in jail my whole life, basically.
All right. Just trying to get a sort of a background of perspectives, right? Mm-hmm. Because it sort of says some things.
And I know what it's like to be missing things.
College degree? No. College degree?
Absolutely not.
College degree?
Yeah.
He's an accountant, bro. He knows how to count and everything. How high can you count?
Pretty high.
Remember that? That was the thing. I could count to 100. I don't need to count more than that. 100 is
enough. I could count to 100 in less than a minute. Yeah. So I think that we need to engage. Like, let's say you're an expert. You're a mechanic. That's all you know. Be a mentor as a mechanic. Yeah. Show somebody.
Pass that on.
Show a kid how to change the brakes.
Pass that
on. When I learned how easy it was to change the brakes, I was blown away. I couldn't believe how easy it was.
I've been telling you, bro.
I opened it up and I was like, that's it? Just four screws and that's it. They're like, yeah, that's it. I was like, I taught my wife how to change
the brakes. You thought that they was like, it must be complicated because it's driving thousands of pounds.
Not only if I get this wrong, we're gonna die.
Yeah, you're gonna kill your murderer and your whole family.
The whole family's gone.
That's how I felt.
That is a good point.
Yeah. That is so you go into it, but when you actually do it, you're like,
it's straightforward. Straight for four screws. With four screws.
So what I'm telling you, Noel, is why don't you go to the church that's not volunteering and explain, look how simple this is. It's not that big of a deal. Volunteer. Help out.
The thing is, I think, is that discipleship, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you just don't see it. Like how, I mean, you got.
What's discipleship, sir?
What is discipleship? So, like in the Bible, it's like literally being a disciplined one underneath the teaching. You know, you see.
And like, that could be applied in any aspect. Like, you gave me the definition.
Yeah. It's just a discipline one and one. I mean, Mr. Miyagi.
Let's get it.
That was my first thought. Like, I was thinking of Charlotte's
books. What was the kid's name? I forgot. But the Karate Kid. I mean, but
Karate. His first name is Karate.
He was asking his kid. Yeah. I mean, but that's discipleship right there. Becoming disciplined in a practice. I mean, but, you know, nowadays it's let me just do me, hands off. The less relational we can get, the better. Yet people are crying for relationship because we've taken that human element out of many, that intimate human element.
Right, and that's what this is, right?
That's one of them.
And this what this does is that they're doing it right now.
Stranger Danger, though.
Stranger Danger?
Yeah, that's why I say, I think it's the Stranger Danger. So, because everyone's, think about it, all your friends were strangers at one point.
Yeah.
All your friends were strangers at one point. And mind you, it sucks that we've had pedophiles and creeps and everything like that, but when we've now just said, okay, the person next to me, I was here in New York. I don't know how everything. I said hi to a couple people out here in New York, and they looked at me strange. Like, they were like, hey. And I'm like, well, dang. I'm like, do people not say hi?
In New York?
Yeah.
You better. I dare you. I dare you say hi to me outside. Imagine.
As soon as somebody says hi to you, you'd be like, I don't got no money. I'm sorry. I got,
so we lose the care for the average person change. Next to us.
Yeah, and again, the reason why I point out to the devices is that it's easier to reach out to the world from that distance. And we've taken away the essence of
actually. We also got to say this. Use your phone to text somebody, not to post on Facebook. Like, hey, if anybody needs anything, let me know.
No, it's nobody's a communication too, but we lost this human encounter that we used to have so frequently. Yeah. That we look for. It was like, yo, meet me in the corner. I'll see you in a minute.
Yo, we used to hang out and wait to see if anybody shows up.
Yo, I hated that.
8 o'clock came, it's like, all right, we here. That's all we got. All right, how many teams can we make? Two teams of three? Let's go. We count, you run, you hide.
You ever been stood up by your friends? No cell phone? That's how old I am.
Yeah, I've went to the block to hang out and wait, and only the adults were outside playing dominoes. I'm like, I'm the only kid there. I'm like, I guess I'm hanging out with y'all.
I got new friends. It's interesting that your perspective on the whole Black Lives Matter thing, because to me, instinctively, without even really thinking too much, I don't know. I think everybody matters. Everyone in the world matters. You matter, I matter.
I do get right. The Black Lives Matter thing, though, because what they meant, what I think, and I could be wrong, it's just many times Black lives have been treated all. They feel like Black lives have just been overlooked in this society.
Or like a second-class citizen.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, it's because also Black communities don't really have a basis of identity. You know, like, for example, I was talking to this with my friend who's, like, Indonesian and Chinese. It's like, there's certain things white people do, and we're like, Indonesians don't do that. There's certain things that, you know, Japanese people are like, Indonesians don't do that. There's certain things, like, that, you know, white people do, and I'm Nigerian, so it's a little bit different because I came straight from Nigeria. But it's like, nuh-uh, Nigerians don't do that. But they don't really have a thing where it's like, oh, Black people don't do that? That's not really a specific culture or specific place or heritage.
But what about this? I'm a cop. I think that's impactful. Right? First of all, I would be the most corrupt cop we can find. But I let everybody off. Almost everybody. But let's say I'm a cop and all I see, again, I'm just saying it blunt because I got no hair on my tongue. All I see on my shift are Black individuals committing crimes. So when I go to work after 2 years of something, that 90% of what I'm seeing, forget about me, it's stopping them. Now it's subconscious as a cult, like a thing, right? Mm-hmm. So when I wake up tomorrow morning, what do you think I'm going to be looking for? Am I going to be looking for the white guy walking down the block? Or am I going to be looking at this dude that looks like...
I'm 11% Black. So.
Shut up.
I checked my DNA.
But you just look like a dirty Spanish person. So my thing is that, you know, if I'm always seeing the same thing.
Can we blame you?
Can you really?
It reminds me of the tiger, the two guys with the tiger. You ever heard that one? Where it's two guys walking. They've never seen a tiger. They see a tiger for the first time. They're like, oh, what is that? Oh, let me go touch it. And then he gets attacked. And the other guy's like, all right, now we know tigers are dangerous. So what happens is that people watch TV and they say, oh, there was a shooting or somebody got stabbed or gang violence. And they see the suspect's face and they're like, oh, They're dangerous.
It's a tiger.
Those guys are dangerous.
Oh yeah, we.
My and mom, I think yeah. that I think also the news is the problem number one.
Oof.
And again, this comes out. I think this comes out to society. You guys have to really engage, especially now the young people.
I was engage, afraid of black engage, people engage. More than white people in Baltimore. I mean, just being real, and I'm black. Yeah, and I'm
because you're in the good neighborhood.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry to put it that way. That's how I used to be. I mean, now.
Well, facts don't care about your feelings. So go ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny. But, I'm thinking about the block that I lived on when I was in.
Oh
Baltimore.
Yeah, you was out in. Yeah.
That was fun.
How long you out this one?
A year.
Sounds like too long.
But the thing black. About the area where you live that, if you talk to your neighbors, they look out for you like nobody's business. They or you talk to those kids who'll be on the stoop chilling, they love you.
So you're saying in the hood, they're tight-knit. They're together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So how do we get them out of that to join the rest of the world and being together? And how do we educate the... So, and then how do we change this perspective of the cops?
Are you saying the people get them out the hood?
He's saying that, yo, you go to the hood and they take care of each other.
Yeah,
they're on the stoops. They're like, yo, you need some rice? Yeah. Yo, I got you right here.
Yeah,
but it's them. It's them against everything else that's outside of them, right?
I think that's okay, but I just think that they need to expand their, not just rice, also your kids. Expand that bubble of, remember we were kind of talking about it early today. Remember we talked about the mechanic guy I was telling you about today? Like, oh, he's Spanish, and we kind of slip some Spanish in there. As soon as he starts talking Spanish, we're like, I got you now.
No, we're saying the same thing. What we're saying is that he's acknowledging that the hood stay with the hood. They about the hood. They take care of one another, right? What? And you're saying the same thing. It's like, expand that bubble. It's not just y'all. It's a community. It's not just y'all in the projects. Y'all part of a community, a city.
But there's something about feeling like you're oppressed that makes you...
Entitled?
That and that makes you closer.
Yeah.
There's something about being persecuted. It's there's like something a suffering about bond. Yeah, yeah. And yeah, sometimes yeah. that
like the violin can, like the violin guys in the Titanic, they were like, we're just gonna chill out together here and die.
Sure, yeah. I never watched the Titanic. I have other things to do with 3 hours of my life. But
it was a good movie, son. I was happy at the
I'll
end.
I'll watch it one day.
It finally happened.
It's like being forged in fire.
I did say I like
you're forging a bond.
I think that's something I gotta do.
Mm. You're forging a bond through fire.
You're forging a bond through fire.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you don't, now here's the thing where the gospel is different. Persecution also knitted the church together, but there was a love for people that underlaid that was there. So regardless, even when, well, the original church, so even when they were getting oppressed and they were getting persecuted and stuff like that, they're supposed to, they still had a love for each other. Not saying that, and that can happen in the community where you understand, like, look, you know, I live in a community with white folks, you know, now in the suburb just because I like the houses that are out there. But I'm still here also in the community with other black people too because I love you guys. This was where I grew up. Mm. This is where I am at. And it's just, I don't have an answer to say that. Is the one thing, but to realize that people aren't the enemy is one thing you have to address.
Yeah,
that nobody's the enemy. It's just let's make ourselves better.
And our role as males, as fathers, as male leaders, male adults, really needs to get we really need to step it up and figure this thing out because something was working back then when you had mom and dad at home, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah,
something was working. I wasn't saying it was always perfect in every household.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but something was working when you had the example of what it is to be a male and a female and in this thing called love.
I think the Christian view is obviously, I mean, I'm going to say it's the best view of family, like structure.
Without being biased, sir?
Of course we have
No, I'm bias. Just saying that's bias, yeah. But I'm also saying that I think that's the best view of it even outside of Christianity. Even if you're not going to be a Christian, let's just say you, whatever, atheist, whatever, I don't care what you are. That family structure is best for your family.
So well, some women would, some people wouldn't like that because, you know, where, Bible mentions that a woman should take care of her kids. Some will, now you have to understand it in its proper context too, but some people will be like, oh, so that's all I'm supposed to do is take care of my kids and they feel insulted.
You know, when I hear
you're
that.
Preparing for another generation that's going to impact this earth. It's huge, and it's not just the woman.
You think the president is an important job? You have no idea what being
right,
a mother.
Right, that's the point right there.
It's not absolving the father.
It's been diminished. This idea of being a mother at home has been diminished as something that's low.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
where they're not being taught or explained that women build communities.
Yeah.
Women are more effective of showing affection to other humans.
Like, look at how well-knitted women were when they were the ones preparing weapons. You know what I mean? They were the ones who were helping move that war along.
Yeah, but I was explaining to a friend today, I was saying that, you know, when I hug my son and I look at the way he hugs his mother, he's my son. He's going to be a man, a leader one day. He's going to be part of this community one day. He is part of this community. As an adult, he will be one day.
Yeah.
And when he learns what affection is and where I can be most vulnerable is, guess what? It's with a female. It starts with his mother.
Yeah.
And then he looks for a wife where he could go home and cry on.
Yeah.
Yep.
But go out into the world and be a man, a strong, confident man. But it's at home. So look at the value. Look how much more value this role is as a mother, as a woman, you know. And the fact that they're putting some, they're willing to put some time and step into the work field, yo, that's dope. That's multitasking. Now, we're reading a book at the church, and part of the book, it says how, you know, the person's perspective, the writer of the book says, you know, for those individuals that feel like they're not meant for this family building life, that we, the rest of the church, should be supporting those individuals in their careers so that they could be the best that they can be for the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not everybody.
And even those who don't feel like they want to be a mother, like that, I'm sorry, you're like absolving yourself. And I don't mean just being a mother in the term of birthing. I mean being a mother as in being someone who cares for a young person or cares for someone who's ignorant than them. The fact that you don't want a mother at all just shows a complete lack of love for humanity.
And mother could be used in the
what you're, yeah. I'm not even used talking about having kids.
No, right, but so you use the word mother in the sense of the act and the
mm-hmm.
but
and the nurturing.
But it could be titled as mentor.
Yeah.
Right? It could be titled so many different things that actually exist. But you're taking the role of this leadership, this caring person. And again, affection and emotions to me are expressed more effectively through a female.
Yeah.
You know, and when you take that away from the home, this is the results you get. This is why you got deadbeat dads. You got, and I'm not blaming the woman. I'm blaming society.
Yeah.
We need to come back to the table and discuss what it is. Why is this still valuable and how it's impacted our community?
And people think like, you know, we're out here trying to create social stigmas already. But I've literally had guys tell me like, you know, guys whose dad wasn't around and stuff like that. And now they start coming into the church and they'll just randomly say, you know, they'll randomly say something like, I don't talk to my dad. I don't know why. Oh, damn.
Yo, what time is it?
That was about an hour and 21 minutes into it. Jose, please zoom into our guest's face when we fly squat.
Enjoy. That's gonna be real good for the video.
I'm in the car with these two, and we're heading out. And Joel is walking the crosswalk, and when I see him, I'm in deep conversation with him, looking at him. But when I see Joel, I literally cut over and I start speeding. I go to the opposite side of the lane to like run him over, bro. Like 10 people were like with their faces, and what Joel does, he looks, he says, "Oh," and takes a little skip. Like that was gonna save him from
I'm gonna die.
I guess I'm dead. But the faces from these two was also like, he's a maniac.
What's happening right now?
I knew it.
He owes me money.
Wayne Brady on the Chappelle Show. Show yourself, fool.
Oh, yes. Wayne Brady.
You know, so I think that we definitely got something going here, and are you on social media? Are you doing anything? Do you provide private services? Because I know I need help with money.
not right now, but who knows what may open up in sometime soon. What may open up sometime soon. So
that's pretty
good, bro. I'm thinking of doing something like bookkeeping as a business, because many times people don't want to do it, but as their businesses are growing, thriving, expanding their labor force,
build that clientele and let them be your marketing strategy to other ones. Because I see that all the time with small, like, mom and pop agencies or businesses where they have that one guy that was referred, you know,
and he just sits there. Start, because you can offer a lower price than anybody else.
Yeah, and also kind of give them a fee.
Yep, and build yourself, build your clientele.
If somebody wanted to do that, how would they reach you?
How could they reach me? They could reach me through my Facebook, through
send a DM.
They send a DM. They could give me a call.
You want to give out your Facebook?
Huh?
You want to give out your information?
Yeah. I can give my first name, my last name.
Yo, what's the worst thing that can happen? You make money?
That's true.
All right, think about it.
You're gonna get mad hate mail.
You're gonna get work money. Who wants that?
Yeah, you can shout me a DM on my Facebook. First name's Joshua, J-O-S-H-U-A, last name Ikotun, I-K-O-T-U-N, again, I-K-O-T-U-N.
Can you pronounce that, mother?
Ikotun.
Wow.
That sounds Egyptian.
Ikotun. It's Nigerian.
I feel like it's anime.
A cartoon?
I got that joke. I get that joke a lot.
I figured you did. That's why I didn't say anything. But
I had to because... Like, my highest level of education is picture book, so you know I had to say it.
That's like when somebody says, "What's your name?" and I'm like, "Noel." I'm already thinking they're gonna start singing the song. Here it comes.
It definitely did come to mind.
Here it comes.
I think the second. I
sing it every time I think of you. Noel. Yo, so and my friend Jeremy over here is you were on the show technically already, but actually for the first time. And if we lose this file, it's your fault. You're never welcome back into this house.
I listened to another podcast, and they're up to episode 300.
Oof.
But they say technically 301 because they have lost episode 2.
Oh, they're holding on to it?
I have one too. I have one too.
You got slot to my man's coffee shop, though.
Yo, but you know what? We don't have one. We lost his. We lost Ernie's.
Oh, that's right.
We lost. You're not the only one, so... Unfortunately, we want to make you feel left out, but
yo, so how you live in New York now or what?
Nah. So me and him, we connected when he was out in Bible school out in Baltimore, and we've just been connected ever since. So I had vacation, figured I was gonna slide, see my mans, see a couple people. I know a couple people out here in New York, like 3-4 friends around here.
And to remind you, why you're
all in the Bronx, apparently.
Now you're on a podcast.
You are in the Bronx. Thank you.
Now you're on a podcast.
Now I'm on the podcast. I'm like, hey, yo, you never know what can happen, man. Say yes sometimes. Just say yes.
Okay.
Yo, the next time you come to New York, come holla at us, yo. We'd like to have you back
on. Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
definitely.
Yeah.
Yo, that's it. Basically, guys, we're doing this thing again. Hopefully, you know, pulling out those episodes once a week.
Yeah.
More things are coming. More podcasts are coming. And again, you could always check us out at thebasementny.com. This has been another segment.
Inconsistentmedia.com.
Oh, fail. Right. You see?
Everything's changed. We're changing to Inconsistent Media now. We're going to have another podcast.
But we're not still on. Isn't this a basement episode under Inconsistent Media? Didn't we talk about this?
That's where they're going to find us.
Oh, so we got to rep it either ways?
Either way, yeah.
Not the basement and one anymore.
We could, but...
Nah, leave it. I'm tired of looking at basements every time I search what's up. So we'll just be inconsistentmedia.com. The website is being updated, so stay tuned, and that's pretty much it. Yo, guys, just love each other a little more.
Yeah. Mentor somebody.
Love.
Peace.
Peace.